You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to this week's Record Celtic podcast. My name is Daniel Caw. I am joined by Graham Young this week. Graham, how are you?
Very well.
And we're delighted to be joined by special guest, Mr. Alan Stubbs. Alan, how are you?
I'm good, Danny. How are you?
I'm very good, very good. As I say, thanks so much for giving us your time and joining us on the Record Celtic podcast.
No problem.
It's obviously, we're only on Tuesday, but it's been a big week of Celtic news, or Celtic-related news, I should say. The big news yesterday that I should maybe get your take on to start with, Alan, is Neil Lennon heading off to Cyprus, pastures new. Good move for him, do you think?
Well, it'd certainly be warmer for him. I think it's probably more of a surprise because of where Neil's previous appointments have been. It's a little bit of a left field appointment, but you know, one that I'm sure he's thought about, and he thinks, you know, potentially now is the right time to do, you know, to try a different management approach.
What did you make of the move, Graham? Were you surprised? Or?
Yes and no. I think the fact he'd said previously that he was considering it, and I think in the past, even before he left Celtic, the most recent time, he'd kind of weighed up the option of maybe coaching abroad. And, at the end of the day, there is a market out there, isn't there, for experienced coaches, a proven track record to maybe go and try something different. And guys like the guys replacing Herrenberg, he's a manager who Celtic fans know well when he was at Legia Warsaw. And that is, there's a booming market, so to speak, for managers. If he does well here, it's obviously been a nightmare season for them. They've actually finished in the bottom, their league splits as well. And he's a side who won the league last year in the bottom half, basically. So that kind of tells you things haven't been going to plan. But I think Alan would know this better than I would, but I think Neil Lennon's someone who backs himself, believes what he's about. Maybe it's a chance, and as Alan touched upon as well, it'd be nice and need to get the high factor out anyway to keep himself for the warm weather. But it'll be a chance to maybe kind of reimagine his style and what he wants to do. And that's the thing as well, because as much as there was dark clouds about Celtic as a club last season before he left, in the cold light of day, no one can deny he's got an enviable CV, the amount of trophies he's won, and the stat, not to be too much a statue, but one that I think really does mean something rather than just using it for the sake of it, is the Celtic's 20 years in group stage football. They'll get more than 9 points twice, and it's Neil Lennon who's managed it both times. You get 10 points a year, they get out of the Champions League group, and they get 13 the year they beat Lazio twice as well. And if that would be pretty high up in my CV if I was trying to talk it up, and I think good on him, do you know what I mean? He won't be, well, if it goes well, there'll be maybe other options in Europe, you know. He might become one of these type Roy Hodgson type managers that makes kind of trotting about Europe a kind of for the next 10, 15 years, so who knows? But good on him, and I think it's a bold choice and fair play for taking it.
I'll kind of touch on what Graham was saying there. I'm keen to see him do really well, just because obviously the going for 10 in a row was nothing short of a catastrophe, but
yeah,
as Graham says, he's still a Celtic legend. The things he's won, the things he's been through as a Celtic man, I think he deserves a lot more respect than he gets at times.
Yeah, I think if you look at the bigger picture, or the, you know, the what's looking, you know, right in front of us in terms of Neil's last stint, you know, then you've got to give him, you know, a huge amount of credit. You know, his records, you know, stacks up with some of the best. There's no denying that. But I think probably the enormity of 10 has affected everybody. You know, that's and just, and the only thing that doubts about it is obviously with Neil going out there is obviously the language barrier. In terms of his staff, I think they're going to be so important in what he takes, or if he takes anybody, because, you know, ultimately, I think, you know, Neil is purely a manager. He's not necessarily, you know, a coach. So I think that's going to be very important, you know, for him in terms of what he can take and who he can take.
Mm-hmm. And you must have in your managerial career, Al, been, I don't know, tempted to go abroad, try something new, something a bit different.
Yeah, you know, certainly, you know, the one thing Neil's going to have to probably make first and foremost is make sure he's got plenty of factor 50 or even factor 80, you know, because it doesn't bode well, you know, for Neil, you know, being in that baking sun in Cyprus. But yeah, it's, you know, it is a bold move for him. If you really take a step back and look at it, if there are any jobs in Scotland that he could have took, you know, and the honest answer to that probably right now is no. You know, Aberdeen, as we thought, you know, was one that he may have contemplated if approached, or even if he was approached. But when you look at the rest, you know, I wouldn't have said there's anything out there that would necessarily appeal to him, mm-hmm. or he could possibly go into. So then, he started to do look further afield, and you know, when he was at Bolton, that didn't go, you know, so well for him. And it could be a really interesting one, you know, for him. I think there's a no in between. It's either going to go really well, or it's going to go really bad.
Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see how it goes. And yeah, as I say, I just personally wish him the best, because, yeah, you know, hope he does well. The other big news, Graham, that I think we should touch on is today Scott Brown has been recalled. A lot of speculation. I don't think it's official yet, but a lot of speculation that he's about to hang up his boots. You know, another kind of genuine Celtic legend, part of the Nine in a Row team. And if he does hang up his boots, it's one of the most imposing midfielders of his generation, really.
Yeah, we just put a piece on the website there about him and what he brings, and make the point that you can't tell the story of Scottish football in the 21st century without Scott Brown. And in all facets, like the player he was at Hibs, this kind of box-to-box, rampaging midfielder under Tony Mowbray's team that was really exciting to watch. Then he changes his role at Celtic. It's kind of two spells at Celtic, almost that first kind of wave under Strachan and Lennon. Comes again under Brendan Rodgers, this trophy-laden era. And as much as Celtic fans, 10 in a row was this massive deal, I think history will be very kind to a quadruple treble in terms of that kind of achievement will never be matched again. It's too hard to do. It's too many factors involved. And just the type of player he was. And I think his ambition, his desire to be a coach has been there for all to see. He's learnt, he's close to people who, of that outlook, Gordon Strachan, Brendan Rodgers, Neil Lennon. He's worked closely with these guys. He's an open door probably to kind of experience things, test himself. Steve Glass, a close friend up in Aberdeen, it's not going to plan. I think the playing career makes sense. I felt that for a while. I felt as good as he's looked at times this season, and he has, like those Rangers games, Aberdeen probably don't get results because it's his cult of personality that drags him through and able to take Rangers on mentally as much as physically. But the coaching thing's big for him. We made the argument as well, maybe the outside chances, maybe Sky could maybe look and go, well, Chris Boyd needs a sparring partner perhaps on certain shows, and maybe that would be of interest. But you can see there's options there. Who knows? Brendan Rodgers has been good to maybe a coaching down there, or someone else down south who thinks always a player. Maybe Neil Lennon, maybe Neil Lennon up there. There's options. There's options. That's a guarantee. You never know what, as a free agent or a pending free agent, there will be options for him. And he is what he is. He's one of the most forceful personalities as a player that Scottish football's had in many years. And he's Markle. I don't think the story's finished for him, but as a player, there's not been many like him. He's adored by Celtic. And I think as well, with them hanging these boots up there, even if he doesn't return to Celtic, maybe in a coaching capacity, which is an option, I think. They've got a track record, the guys at Darnaday, Steve McManus, John Kennedy, Celtic have been good to their former players in terms of bringing them through. But I think even if that doesn't come to pass, as a kind of big send-off that he never got due to COVID, I think that's a definite to happen, which will which would be nice for a lot of people as well. So there's nothing more can be said. He is the man, you know, in many Celtic fans' eyes, and he has been for a long time. So it's been a storied career.
I think there's going to be a lot of options for him, whatever Scott decides to do, you know. And I think initially, you know, he may just take a bit of time just to reflect on what he's done, what he's achieved, and what's the next chapter. We obviously know he wants to go into culture and management, you know. But I think it's important to be clear, you know, when you go into that, because it does take a huge commitment and sacrifices again. But he's been a fantastic player, you know, and he will be a knife ranked up amongst the great players that have played for Celtic. There's no doubt about that.
And in your particularly in your coaching career, you must have come across him, even come up against him. Is he kind of tenacious and, I don't want to say annoying, but kind of what's the right phrase I'm looking for here? Kind of pain in the backside as everyone makes out for an opposition manager?
Yeah, but there's certainly more than one way to win individual duels on a pitch. You know, and Scott could do it in virtually every way. You know, whether that was through his own ability, whether that was getting in someone's head, whether it was getting in someone's face, you know, there's certainly so many different facets to get one over on your opposite number, and Scott was a master of them. You know, there's an art to that, you know, and you know, he certainly backed up his confidence, you know, on the pitch. He had a personality. He was exuberant. He was intimidating. You know, and it's not very often you get all that in a mix in a modern day footballer. You know, he rubbed people up the wrong way, but that's you winning again.
Right.
You know, and people go, "Oh, it was annoying when he did this." He's an opposition player, but you know, more fuel them for letting him annoy them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you know, nothing but admiration for him. I've got to be honest. You know, he was a great guy off the pitch. You know, at being his company on numerous occasions. I had the pleasure of bumping into him one time in Marbella where I was in a club with some friends, and Scott just happened to, you know. Probably, I don't want to do him any justice, but you know, let's just say he started it, and he straight away across came over to us, joined our company, you know, all night, you know, and he's a gentleman as well. So, that's where all that story ends.
Just on what you were saying, Graham, just to finish on Brown, I think you make a good point about the kind of the different Celtic careers he had. I remember towards the start, a lot of people were kind of unconvinced a little bit that he was going to be the, you know, for the massive fee that he cost, that he was going to be the Messiah, if you like. And then you go back to that Ronnie Dyla game. You know, he had the knee injury. I think he was 31, 32. And a lot of people said that was it. But then under Brendan Rodgers, he played probably the best football of his career.
Yeah, I think Brendan Rodgers and Brown's been on the record plenty of times to say the debt of gratitude really to Brendan Rodgers. And I think certain times Alan will know this as well in his own career and my playing and managing, sometimes something just clicks, and that was a perfect fit. A manager, Rodgers had a point to prove, Brown had a point to prove, the Celtic squad was actually pretty strong, maybe as good, and this is not a disservice to Ronnie Dyla, just bringing in Scott Sinclair and Moussa Dembele that summer just kick-started everything. It was a fresh team and Brown just absolutely loved it, and you could tell at the Man City game, the 3-H game as well, that's the kind of zenith of that kind of that team and his ability. Like, it was amazing, and he was passing against the past masters. That was the thing. He was in that midfield, moving the ball, dictating the pace, and anyone, I think that's the thing that sometimes Scott Brown, that maybe if you polled maybe 10 English football fans who maybe know football, they would probably to describe Scott Brown, they think a hard man, a brute and all that. But Scott Brown could move the ball. He had a lot of facets to his game, and those big Champions League nights, his passing record was incredible, and he played in some memorable moments. I think that's, as you say, like his career, Celtic career, didn't look to be going in that direction, but that new lease of life in the latter years really made a difference and added even more to an already incredible legacy.
I think if it is the end of Brown in a playing sense, it definitely won't be the end of him in terms of his contribution to Scottish football. So we'll see where he ends up, I guess. The other thing that we have to talk about, I know it's been a couple of days ago now, but Celtic at the weekend, I thought a huge win over Livingston. I mean, I was looking at this game, and to be honest, when you look at the fact that Celtic hadn't won a league game at the Tony Macaroni, I couldn't believe this, since Paul Hartley's debut under Gordon Strachan. I did think it looked like a real banana skin, but I was really impressed with not only Celtic's performance, but the way Ange set up his team and the way they kind of took care of business.
I think, to be honest, Danny, I think they just Celtic would go from strength to strength. You know, yes, I totally agree. I think it was one where a lot of people on the outside were looking at it as a banana skin, and rightly so. You know, Livingston, you know, there was only Livingston that took more points than Celtic since the turn of the year.
Yeah.
And that tells you how well Livingston have been doing as well. You know, and there was a lot of talk in the media about Livingston having a hoodoo sign over Celtic and everything that goes with it, you know, and it's difficult to say that they were wrong, because Celtic have, you know, as you said, I was surprised at what you just said about, you know, they have not won there since, you know, Paul Hartley was on the board in second. It's, you know, so surprising. But I think this Celtic team, every time they've been asked questions, they've answered. And I think with Ange, who has done an incredible job since he's gone there in terms of where the club was, you know, having to basically rebuild the squad, and it's still not rebuilt, let's be honest. But, you know, but he's been able to put together a title challenge when nobody really thought it was possible. To be where they are now, sitting 3 points ahead of Rangers, with, I think, is it 10 games to go?
I think it's nine, isn't it?
You know, hats off to him. You know, he deserves a huge amount of credit. His signings, not necessarily in terms of names or in terms of ability, but the way they've worked out. I've been as good as anybody with Celtic over the last 15 years. And I mean the way they've hit the ground running and the impact they've had. There's been bigger names and better players that have come to Celtic, but the impact that they've had on the team has been nothing short of fantastic.
There's one guy that I want to kind of put the spotlight on in a positive sense in the Celtic team, just because I think he deserves a bit of praise, and I'll get both your guys' take on this. But Al, as a top Celtic centre-half, I've been really impressed recently with Carl Starfelt. I know that social media is far from being the be-all and end-all, but the stick he took early in the season was really intense. And I think for him to come back and kind of put in the performances he's putting in now kind of speaks volumes of his character.
I've got to be honest, Danny. I was critical of him in terms of his early performances.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I have to, you know, in terms of when you do question someone, you know, it's right that you give them credit and all when he's doing well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and certainly his performances over the last month have been a lot more consistent, and he does look, you know, now more confidence. I still would like to see even more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to deny that, but he deserves a lot of credit, because sometimes, you know, we don't know what's going on the inside, in terms of, you know, how he's settled, or whether it's not just him that maybe hasn't settled as quickly as what he would like, whether it's his family.
Mm-hmm.
We're not privy to all that, you know, but he's been huge by his performance on the pitch, and some of them have been, you know, abject. Mm-hmm. Some of them have been a little bit where you think, oh, sure. But then of late, and it's no coincidence, I don't think, either, it's because they've probably had as much of a settled back four now than what they've had for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a huge help. When you start to get to know the person next year, what his style is and what his little habits are in terms of, you know, oh, well, I know he likes to object or why, so I've got to get my distance. That takes a bit of time. And I think now that, you know, him and Carter Vickers, you know, have certainly got a real good understanding. You know, Greg Taylor has come in and I think has had some good performances. That I don't think there's no coincidence that because his performance has improved, them guys and all have got to take a bit of credit as well.
Mm-hmm. And Graham, we've got on. Sorry, you
It was dead interesting you saying that. I always felt that the Celtic team that stopped to 10, that yourself and Mark Reaper were a partnership or were able to do things together, that he's got better as the season went on. You noticed that phrase there as well, about you start to know each other's habits. Was that something that you in your own playing career, I'm just using Reaper as an example, but is that, did that make you feel yourself getting stronger because the more time you played with a player? Or?
Yeah, I think it can happen all over the pitch. To be honest, in terms of having that partnership, but I think one of the biggest ones that you need is that centre back. The two players that are there you look at the best centre back partnerships. They all have a really good understanding of each other's games, knowing where to be in the right place at the right time. Necessarily, it's not about. How good you are on the ball. In fact, one of the reasons that Celtic, you've got to be good on the ball, take them back, because you have the ball more often than anybody else. But when you have to defend, it's all being in the right areas. Unfortunately, you find that some defenders, they run out of good positions when they're in a good position to start off, and they feel as if they've got to get involved in things that they should be getting involved in. And that can cause them to make silly decisions.
I don't know what you guys think, but Graham, I get a worry from a Celtic point of view that this will be the only season for Carter Vickers. It's not based on anything, but I just feel like there's no positive noises in that sign by now if he was going to stay.
I think he's got options. I think I would be quick to, I think Celtic will get a compelling case when it comes to make these next decisions, because you've got, potentially, if you win the league, you're guaranteed Champions League, or all but guaranteed Champions League football. Carter Vickers is 24 as well. He's not 19, first loan away for Tottenham. He's been at clubs in the Championship. He knows what kind of, and that's when I think Celtic are getting benefit as well from him. He's played these 46 game seasons at Stoke and Bournemouth and and he knows what's expected of him. Where I think Celtic are reaping the reward for that. He knows the grind, they're going week in, week out. He's not some wet-banged ears guy who, and he's had caps at international level. I think he's very measured and level-headed when he speaks. He's not the most emotive guy, so you might not, he's not going over the top about staying, but it wouldn't shock me. I think the style of play, it's very offensive. It suits his type of play. What makes him even more remarkable is the fact he is only about 6 feet, isn't he? He's not the tallest guy, but he's just a powerhouse, and he's so strong. And I just think with Celtic, get that go at the Champions League, it might be a good career move. And to be fair, Celtic getting a permanent deal, Celtic have got an enviable track record of selling players. And so even they go, listen, commit to us, have a go at Champions League, this is where you're developing, you'll get your chance back in English football. Which is probably most likely place, and he is of a real talent. But I wouldn't be surprised if I was a director of football, a head of scouting for any Premier League team. You need three or four good defenders. Why would you not? If I can't, why would Tottenham not even have an option? But I know he wants to play football at this point, and with Romero and so forth. And there's a lot of money invested there. The Leicester link emerged last night as well. Brendan Rodgers, I think with Fofana next season, he'll be back to his best. Needs extra players there. There will be options for him, but I still think Celtic have got a fighting chance. of more than a fighting chance of keeping them around, and it'd be the best business. I know there's the argument, both Jota and Carter Vickers, which one you choose. Obviously, both would be the answer. But Carter Vickers, Celtic by nature, Alan would know this, playing for them, watching them. Celtic's DNA is an attacking style, and at times they can be a bit open. If you can get a guy as good as Carter Vickers in your defence, it mitigates some of the usual Celtic frailties, makes them a bit stronger, a bit more robust. And I just think if they sign any player this summer, Carter Vickers would be the kind of best signing they could make.
Thanks very much to Alan Stubbs for joining us on this week's Record Celtic podcast, and to Graham Young as well. Thanks very much for listening. You can find us at Record_Sport on Twitter and at Daily Record_Sport on Instagram. We'll be back next week.